The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Beyond, and hello everyone, my name is Jonathan Dornbush, and this is Podcast Beyond, IGN's weekly PlayStation show covering all the latest and greatest in the world of PlayStation, and we've got some big news of some PlayStation games going gold, some studios finally being acquired as they were announced months before, and also the first big new PlayStation Plus lineup that we're going to get into, as well as some other discussions. But before we get to all of that, first want to start off by introducing the panel. I'm joined this week by Jada Griffin.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Jada. It's awesome to see you.
I don't know. It's been a while. I took up smoking, you know, just having a good time.
No.
Been gone. I'm kidding. Do not smoke. I'm good. Normal voice. I just, you know, I don't know. I was trying something fun. I haven't been on in a while, and I wanted to start with a bang, and that was probably not the right way to start it. But whatever. Hello. I'm glad to be back.
Hello, perfect chaos to start the show. I was going to start off by saying I'm very jealous because for any of our audio listeners who can't see, Jada is wearing an awesome Sly Cooper shirt, which I'm very jealous of.
Oh yeah, I love this shirt.
Other than that, it's good to see you. It's been a while, but good to have you back on the show.
Ditto.
We're also joined this week by Mark Medina. Mark, hello.
Hello. Jada, I am a doctor, and smoking's bad. Okay, I know that because I went to doctor school. So yeah,
sure.
Just letting you know. Also,
how many days did it take you to get your degree?
Like 3 2/4 of a day.
Oh, well, yeah, I've been smoking for like the square root of that. So like, what's the, that probably,
I'm a doctor.
Right?
I don't know anything. I don't know math stuff. Okay. I only know how to doctor. Okay. I have nothing to yell into my microphone about this week when it comes to TV shows and stuff, but I will say I'm watching The Bear on Hulu. It's pretty good. I'm only 4 episodes in, but it's a very tense, very dramatic show.
All I've heard is, that I need to watch The Bear. That's all I've heard.
It's good.
If you guys aren't going to do our Apple TV shout out, then I'll do the Apple TV shout out because I'm watching Loot and I am freaking loving
that
Loot
too.
With Maya good. Rudolph Loot. And MJ Rodriguez and
Ron Hunches, isn't it?
Ron Hunches, Nate Faxon, whole bunch of people in there. Adam Scott from Severance. Mark, you should be watching it. Adam Scott's in it.
I've never even heard of it. What is it called? Loot?
Loot. Yes, like I picked up Loot in my video game. Not the instrument.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I was,
But it's
not a musical show.
It's very interesting. It's a lot of fun. And I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it comes from old Parks and Rec writers, I believe, is the lineage. So it's a little bit in that vein, but a little bit of a different thing. Yeah, it's pretty good. I've only watched the first 2 episodes, I think, but I really enjoy it so far.
Yeah, I'm waiting for
I will watch that after The Bear.
Well,
The Bear's only like 4 more episodes, so
that's fair. It's a short season. But speaking of television, this is actually a great segue because before we get into games, I do want to let you all know that there's going to be a lot of San Diego Comic-Con stuff coming to IGN next week, I believe. IGN's returning to San Diego Comic-Con July 20th through July 24th, so be sure to tune in. We'll have live stream, you know, all the big things happening on our live show Friday and Saturday of that week, which is July 22nd and 23rd. A bunch of stuff will be happening streaming across all of our IGN platforms. You'll be able to see the latest on the biggest movies, TV shows, games, comics, and everything from that show. Comic-Con is one of those all-hands-on-deck sort of thing from IGN, so be sure to tune in, see all the awesome work happening from across the team, and yeah, we'll remind you again next week before that all happens. But with that out of the way, let's get into some of the PlayStation stuff happening this week. And, you know, there's been various bits of news since the big news of last week that God of War finally has a release date. But one of the things in the more immediate future for us to talk about is the fact that PlayStation Plus, the new revamped version of it, is getting its first sort of big monthly update. We knew this was coming to a certain extent beyond the monthly PlayStation Essential drop, which is still happening at the beginning of each month. That's where you get two or three games, no matter what tier you're at of PlayStation Plus. That's still happening every month. But this is for extra and premium tier members. So this is the PS4 and PS5 library if you're in that middle extra tier, and then the premium library, which also includes older games as well. So the big headliners just to mention here is, of course, as we knew, Stray is launching into PlayStation Plus. So if you're an extra or a premium member, you're going to be getting Stray at launch. This is obviously, I think, one of the most anticipated indies for PlayStation players that we've seen, certainly on IGN. I think looking back, the reveal trailer for this on IGN's YouTube channel did 4 million views, which is huge for a game of this scale, and most games in general. You know, people are really, really looking forward to this one. It comes out next week. I believe normally, because it's on Steam for this price, it normally costs $30. So, you know, subscribe to a couple months of PlayStation Plus and you get Stray on top of the library. You know, so that's a good one to launch into. Before we get into sort of everything about the lineup, just want to mention the other big headliners. You also will get Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade, which is the PS5 version, which comes with the Yuffie DLC edition that was included. If you're on PS4, you do still get just a normal Final Fantasy VII Remake, so you're not left out of the picture. PS4 and PS5 players also get Marvel's Avengers, which most recently, I think, got the Mighty Thor as a new playable character. So that is the another sort of Echo character that they've done, but Jane Foster as Thor is in there. And then also available
dialogue.
Really?
They have it made the rounds online, but there's this whole line where Captain America is talking to Jane Foster. And he's like, I think the soldiers are afraid of you. They talk about you, they want like about you stepping on them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all right. You know, the writers they're trying. So
they went for it.
I mean,
when they're not really doing like big cutscenes and things, I guess that's where you got to put those jokes. But yeah, also on July 19th, players will get this is part of that weird sort of like Ubisoft Plus is technically part of it, or like Ubisoft Plus Classics. Ignore that kind of marketing part of it. Essentially, if you're a PlayStation Plus Extra Premium subscriber, you also get Assassin's Creed Unity, Black Flag, Rogue Remastered, Freedom Cry, the Ezio Collection, which was the remastered collection of Ezio's three games. And then additionally, Saints Row 4 Reelected, Saints Row Gat Out of Hell, Spirit of the North Enhanced Edition, Ice Age Scrat's Nutty Adventure, Jumanji the Video
Looking
Game.
Looking forward to that one.
Paw Patrol on a Roll. And Ready Set Heroes are all coming as well. And then if you're a premium member, you get from the PSP, No Heroes Allowed and Loco Roco Midnight Carnival. So that is the first big, you know, refresh for PlayStation Plus. There's no mention, at least on this page, and so I haven't seen it, if there are any games that will be leaving. Hopefully not already after a month. I hope things don't leave that quickly. But that's the big sort of roundup for what PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium members will get. Obviously, I think the addition of Stray going into it at launch is great. I think we've all said this on the show before, but I think knowing that first-party games won't be part of the lineup at launch, they need to find a way to get third parties and indies to launch into PS Plus if they want this to be a competitive subscription service. I think we all kind of are still on that page, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like you have those indies that almost become first-party for that platform, right? Like we saw it with Tunic earlier. I remember somebody in our comments a while back in Unlocked said something about like, hey, you guys forgot to mention that like Tunic was a first party game, and It's like, no, Tunic's not a first party game, but it gets so married to that console and it comes day one to Game Pass. And that's kind of what you're seeing with Stray. It's like Stray is Annapurna, you know, that's not first party and stuff like that. They're the publisher, not a developer, but it's like, it was revealed at a PlayStation show. It's been shown at PlayStation shows. And now it's coming with their service. It kind of like makes sense. You're finally kind of seeing that, like, okay, I do see how this could be a competitor. You know, like, again, like you said, it's not going to get the first party titles, but games that, like Stray, aren't first party, but they become like headcanon first party, hitting the service day one is like a very good thing. I actually didn't even know Stray was hitting service day one, so I think people are going to be very happy to be able to play the game. And like you said, if you were going to spend $30 on the game and you didn't have the extra tier, maybe you could just subscribe to that. Obviously, it means you have to keep that subscription up to be able to play the game forever. You don't own it, but, you know, a smaller indie like this, maybe...
You can do it a month.
Can do it in a month and you won't need to own the game. So it's up to you.
Yep. Plus, they have like there's like little buttons if you aren't subscribed to the extra and premium on your PlayStation. In that section, there's like an upgrade for this amount. And it'll tell you. I think I was looking at my partner's account who did an upgrade, and it was like $32 or something. I think for him to upgrade the rest of his subscription for it, which was pretty cool.
For the
also,
year,
I think so.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think it was based on whatever time he had left on his subscription. I think his subscription lapses in October, November, because we usually renew him around the holiday when all the sales go on the PS Pluses and stuff.
Yeah, I think they're doing prorated rates for that sort of stuff. Yeah.
But I did realize that, so I have the premium for like the next 3 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever I downloaded on my account onto his PlayStation, he was still able to play because my account is set on his PlayStation, which works with the PS4 and the PS1 classics and PS5 games, but did not work PS3 streaming. So if you're a 2 PlayStation household like I am, you only really need the one.
This B-roll has way too much spoilers. I can't look at it. Yeah, I don't like it.
Red just immediately. Oh, it just went to black. I thought Red just immediately shut it off. I think that's from a recent gameplay showcase. But yeah, it's all out there in fair game.
No. Not knocking the trailer or our producer's right to play it. But I'm like in a game where I'm like kind of going in fresh. I'm like, man, I'm seeing like a lot of stuff I hadn't seen before. I'm not one of those people that watches every single little trailer that has like come out. You know, if I'm in, I'm in usually. And so I remember that happened recently. I don't remember what it was, but there was a game that I saw a trailer and I was like, oh. For Everything Everywhere All at Once, it was on this podcast when I saw the hot dog fingers, and I was like, they spoiled that in a trailer? Man, I'm super glad I never watched trailers for that movie.
That is a thing that I've definitely stepped away from, as I've not been part of our news team, obviously keeping up with things for the show and whatnot. But when I don't have to watch stuff, I have very much moved away from it because I like to go in as fresh as possible. But having Stray there, I think day one is going to be a big deal for a lot of people, especially knowing how much excitement there is around Cat Game and the hopes of Cat Game. So I hope Stray ends up being what everyone wants it to be. But I think... You know, FF7 Remake Integrate is also a really great addition. I know FF7 Remake originally was on PS Plus a few months back, so obviously if you missed that then, there were also some weirdness about the upgrading process of that from PS4 to PS5 with that version of it. To get Remake Integrate, like, if you didn't play that game yet, play that game. It's so good. I think about it more and more as time goes on of how much I love FF7 Remake.
I cannot wait for Rebirth. Rebirth is going to be... like so good. I just have a feeling like they're just gonna scale it up. It's just gonna like it's gonna be one of those sequels that just really hits all the bars and just keeps moving forward.
Yeah, I and knowing that we're in for a trilogy, like that they have the scope of the whole project in view now. They originally apparently were thinking of it as just the duology, but then they did Rebirth and realized like, oh no, we need the third game. So it's good that they have that settled. And if you're playing just the normal version on PS4, like you're still in for a beautiful game, a excellent combat system. Like it's really, really worth playing.
I've never played the PS5 version. I've only played the PS4 version.
It looks so much better. Yeah. Like it's not like night and day, but you can definitely see the differences between the PS4 and PS5.
Well, the PS4 version was just like, it was so pretty. I know this mm-hmm. one's got like 60 FPS, so that's like definitely worth it. But I played so much on PS4 Pro that like I didn't feel the need to come back. But I probably will when it gets closer to Rebirth, which is still a year and a half away. So eventually.
The Yuffie DLC is great. It also has one of my favorite like in-game mini games of the last few years. Fort Condor, it's really fun to play. But I think, yeah, like to Jada's point, playing the PS5 version and seeing how pretty it was and like knowing how pretty the original version already was on like PS4 Pro and everything, it on a PS5 feels like a game that was built for PS5 at that point. Mm-hmm. Like I think it stands toe to toe with a lot of, you know, maybe not the highest of the high PS5 stuff, but I think it's pretty still high up there as one of the prettiest games on the system. Like it is gorgeous. And you could, you'd be forgiven, I think, for thinking it was developed natively for it. So
that's kind of how I feel about like Death Stranding Director's Cut. I'm like, I forgot that this was a PS4 game. This feels like a PS5 game. Like it runs great. It looks gorgeous. I forget that this was ever a PS4 game, but it was.
Yeah.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married, Let's Hear Them Talk About It. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
And then, of course, Marvel's Avengers it was also another one of the headliners. This was on PS Now, I believe, for a little while before that service closed. Mm-hmm. I think, like, if you want to jump into that game, my recommendation would be to play the campaign. I do think there's a lot of great mm-hmm. story stuff within the campaign. I think the depiction of Kamala, especially if you've been watching and loving Ms. Marvel, which is one of the best MCU shows by far for me. Mm-hmm. If you've enjoyed that, Kamala's story, and I think the way things go in that campaign is really, really great, save for the levels that you can tell were clearly made for the multiplayer, like, endgame stuff.
Oh, but my gosh.
the authored like single player stuff, it's like, oh, this is the game that could have been, is what you get out of it.
It's like Whiplash. Yeah, it's like you're playing as, just at the beginning, you're playing as Kamala Khan with Bruce Banner, and it's like this like narrative driven level, and then it's like the next level, it's like you're in this ice place just like jumping on platforms, and like you have no idea why you're even there, and you're like, oh, this was like, this
you're
was
looking for a
together.
Start, you're looking for an Avengers base, you're looking for a shield base.
I know, but it's like it's the most live service like level ever.
Oh,
it's
I know,
like,
it definitely,
it's like,
I'm not...
so it's just you go from this like Last of Us style, like they're like walking and talking and stuff like that, and it becomes a little actiony, but for the most part they're like walking and talking, and then like you get into the interiors and you're still just like trying to figure things out, and then it's like now you're on this giant open field looking for a beacon. You're like, oh man. But the game is very good. It also has very good music, a lot of mm-hmm. it doesn't get a lot of hype for how good the music is in that game. In the single player. Well, I guess,
you know,
in the multiplayer.
It was crazy going into Avengers. I put probably, I don't know, a couple hundred hours into Avengers. Like, I really grinded for like max gear and stuff early into its lifespan with a couple of friends. And I went into it and I was like, you know, I don't know a whole lot about Ms. Marvel, but like, mm-hmm. I understand her powers. I'm not really super like interested. I don't think she's going to be like my main character. I was planning on, you know, probably meaning Iron Man or Widow or something like that. And I ended up loving Kamala to where she became one of my main staples in the cast. Mm. Like, she's just so strong in the game. She has a lot of great utility. She's a really fun character to play. And I think they really nailed the essence of her character. As of now, like watching the show, reading the comics, like I'm really getting engrossed in her as a character, as a part of the Marvel team or lineup, I should say. And it's excellent. Totally worth a playthrough. Especially if you've already got the service, grab a couple friends. You can play through most of the campaign missions together with friends. There's a couple that are weird, like single player missions, but most of them you can play co-op with friends.
But, no, yeah. Jada, those are not the weird ones. Those are the good ones.
I mean, like, well, no, those are the best levels. Yes, the single player ones are some of the best ones, but also it's just kind of weird how
friends,
it. Yeah, it's kind of weird how it jumps. Like, hey, this one's single player only. This one's multiplayer. This one's not. But I like it. It's a great game. For the campaign.
The show's over, right?
Show finale aired last night. Yeah.
Yeah. No spoilers. Okay. I have not watched.
I've only watched the first episode, and I liked it, but it was the only one that was available at the time. And then I was like, I think I'm just going to wait for this to be done, and then I'll just watch it all.
Well, now honestly, I can't wait to re-binge it, like, and rewatch it all, because it's really good moment to moment, and they have a lot of really cool visual effects that they've done in it, especially with, like, the texts. Like, it's got, hands down, whoever the VFX designer is for the text bubbles in that show, like, needs an award, a raise, a promotion. They need all that, because whoever came up with that idea for how they did the text bubbles for conversations, like, that's how all conversations over phone should be in shows going forward.
I assume it eventually goes somewhere, because I watched the first episode and I was like, okay, she like kind of gets her powers, but
we can't spoil it for you.
There's no villains or anything, and I remember,
Mark,
just getting
it
done, and I was like,
yes, Mark,
I was like, where's this going?
The show does go somewhere.
It does have 5 hours more of content.
Yes.
Got it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, yes. Marvel's Avengers is on there, and worth a playthrough for the campaign, but I think a lot of the criticisms of its long-standing tale still hold. So, you know, go in maybe not expecting that you'll get hundreds of hours, or maybe you will enjoy it enough to. I certainly know several people, at least, who have. But yeah, really great combat system. I just don't think it got the post-support it needed. But anyway, I think, you know, there's a good lineup here for a first go, especially if you like Assassin's Creed and miss sort of the old flavor, missed a couple of those games. There's some good stuff there.
if you want to play the prequel to Skull and Bones.
I mean, hey, Black Flag's great. But I think the problem here is the problem that was still at launch, which is the premium tier. If you're subscribed to that extra tier, if you're paying that extra money every month, you get 2 PSP games this month as extra. And I think, you know, the premium classics tier was already lacking at launch. And this doesn't instill a huge vote of confidence in me that every month is going to get, you know, a good grouping of PS1, PS, PS2 and PS3 games. Jade, I don't know about you, but at least for me, like, seeing just two PSP games kind of was like, oh, is that what we're getting every month? Obviously, you know, we'll have to see, but...
Yeah, I really hope this is just them kind of, like, adjusting to this new cadence, because, like we said, it's the first drop of these. I really hope it's just kind of, like, they're testing it out to make sure everything is going to work properly with dropping these new titles before, especially with these PSP titles that, you know, haven't been on playable since the PSP or the PS3 generation. So I can understand them not wanting to go super big on the first outing, because if you drop 20 titles and, you know, five of them don't work properly, that's what people are going to remember. If you drop, you know, two titles that are working perfectly and are fun, you know, it may not get as much buzz, but hopefully the system is now tested and ready to go for future months. I definitely am looking forward to some more of that classic stuff. I've already, like, platinumed both Ape Escape and Siphon Filter. Nice. So I'm looking forward to, like, going through and getting more platinum trophies on some of the classic stuff that they add trophy support to.
Yeah. I go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say, I would argue that what they're doing right now is not great, because all it's doing is showing people why you should not pay the extra money for that service. Like, I have yet to use that service because I kind of scrolled through it and I was like, whatever, I don't really care about any of these. And then seeing, like, yeah, the two games added, I was like, why did I even, like, stress about paying for that portion of the service? Like, it seems like you'd probably be fine with extra for the most part, like, unless you really want to go back and play these. But I guess that was kind of the point of the service. I don't know, it just seems a little, I feel like it is yet to prove in its worth. It doesn't seem worth it to me right now.
Yeah, and we know that PlayStation is hiring for, it seems like, quite a few more roles that look back at, like, whether it's game preservation or being able to play things on modern consoles. That seems to be things that they're hiring for in some degree. So it's possible they just weren't prepped enough for this at the start. But yeah, I don't think premium has justified itself just yet. You know, game trials is a good thing. As a idea, I again think it should still be on a lower tier. I think it is wild that the thing to incite you to spend money is locked behind spending the most money. and, you know, it's cool. Like, we know that next month, you know, speaking of games that aren't launching in, at least as of now, Rollerdrome, which looks really cool from Roll7, the Ollie Ollie World devs, isn't launching into PS Plus, but will have a game trial and I believe a discount for PS Plus subscribers. So it's like, there are some cool added benefits there, but I also think that's a game that could have hugely benefited from as many people as possible probably getting a chance to play even a half hour of that game, just to, because it's such a, like Ollie Ollie World, it seems to be a game, you know, from the gameplay trailers we've seen, it seems to be a game that is very based on the tactile feel of playing through a level and the combination of skating and shooting that's in there that seems really cool. But that's not something that I think maybe someone would want to take a risk on. They may want to be able to play 20 minutes, and having a game trial for everyone to try would be kind of better, in my opinion. I don't know. It's, I think still a lot needs to be figured out. I do still think, like we were talking before the show, the extra tier is the way to go, I think, right now.
I never really thought about the irony of the fact that the point of a game trial is to get you to buy the game.
Yeah.
The game trials are locked behind the most expensive tier. Like, those should just be free. Like, they're literally there as advertisements. That's insane. I mean, I guess game trials are always a double-edged sword, right? You can, you play a game trial and you think, okay, I need to buy this game. Or you play a game trial and you think, okay, this is, I've had my fill. That's enough. Mm-hmm. And it, instead of just paying the money for it, right? So, I don't know, that's such a weird... I forgot that there was game trials even on there, because it's such a weird thing to me.
I haven't downloaded a single one yet. Like, it just hasn't... Most of the ones that are up there for trials is, like, I either already own or I don't have any interest in. So, I don't know. Yeah. I think also a little bit better variety in what the trials is. But, obviously, you know, we're still only 1 month into the service, so...
Yeah. We definitely need to see how it grows, I think, for sure. Like, we did alongside the release date announcement for Valkyrie Elysium, which is coming to PS4 and PS5 in September, we learned that Valkyrie Profile Lenith, which is the PSP port of the original Valkyrie Profile, is coming to PlayStation. Like, you'll be able to buy it separately on its own, but will also be a pre-order bonus for people who buy Valkyrie Elysium, but I'm not sure if it's coming to PS Plus just yet, I would assume, if it's a PSP game they were releasing. But, you know, we're seeing at least months ahead of release that they're going to be putting more PSP games on. So it's clearly something that is being thought through, is a possibility for things. I just hope we see more of a cadence. I think, like, the people who, I don't know about either of you, but at least in my mind, the people who buy the premium tier to get all of that classic stuff are the most dedicated PlayStation players. And, like, they want to be able to dip into that nostalgia. And if it's not there, they're not going to pay that money, I would think.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a problem just with myself. Like, I've said many times on the show that I don't really have an interest in going back and playing, you know, some of these PS1 games that, you know, whatever. So to then log into the service and see a bunch of PS1 games that I've already said that I have no interest in playing and then being disappointed by it, I guess is like kind of silly when you think
about
it.
It's not for you. But Jada, you were saying you've already platinumed the big ones, at least from like Sony first party, that you're looking forward to. Are you using many of the other classic games right now, or is that kind of taking a back seat for you?
It's kind of taken a backseat. Honestly, I've kind of, I haven't been playing a lot on my PlayStation. I did finish World Ends With You finally over the weekend. I know we're probably going to talk about games we're playing. I finished that over the weekend last weekend at level one. So that was crazy. There was one fight at the end where like it literally would one shot me. So I had to dodge or get out of the attack, which was fun. But yeah, no, it's kind of taken a backseat. I'm kind of waiting for the library to build up. I'm kind of eyeballing stuff to prep for my end of the year trophy run, and seeing what's going to make that. So hopefully, you know, we got four or five more months of drops, for that to build up for me. And I'm excited to kind of sprint through those.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hopefully we get a few more of those. I'd love if we got one or two PlayStation classics a month that got trophy support added to it. Even if it's just like one a month, just to kind of help, add to that library, it'd be really cool. But, yeah, we'll see how it continues to go. I did want to note, shout out to Wario64, who tweeted, that for some reason, PlayStation Italy is getting a lot more classic games. I don't know if this is happening in other territories, but PlayStation Italy is also getting Dino Crisis, Ridge Racer 2, Soul Calibur, Broken Destiny, and the other two PSP games as part of the lineup. I don't know if Ridge Racer was part of our lineup. But
Ridge Racer?
I don't think so.
I don't remember seeing it in there. But I mean, Dino Crisis alone is like a big get because people are so hungry for Dino Crisis to make a comeback.
Yeah.
Getting a chance to replay it as part of the service, that would be a big thing for a lot of Capcom fans.
Yeah, assuming it is
killing fans.
I mean, how many of those can exist, because you can't do that for real, and you shouldn't, because they're wonderful creatures. But haven't we all learned from Jurassic Park? Anyway, I think that hopefully means we get it at some point in America. Maybe it's just a rights issue and it'll come to other territories and they're just trying to figure that stuff out. But The premium tier, I think, is still up for debate, and we'll have to see what the months forward look like. But for now, extra tier seems like the way to go, especially if you held back and want to see how the service was shaping up for the first month or two. If you're out there and using extra or premium tiers, please let us know how you're feeling about them. We want to read more impressions on the show. Write into beyond@ign.com, and we'll read some of those in the coming weeks. But moving on from that, Mark, I know you're not as excited as looking back. Maybe you're excited to look forward, because Haven was finally acquired. Haven Studios, we still don't know anything about their game, though.
Nope.
For those who don't remember, Haven Studios is the company opened by Jade Raymond that initially started a partnership with PlayStation Studios to make an exclusive game. They were just acquired then shortly after by PlayStation. They basically were like, hey, we like what you're doing so much, we're just going to acquire you. That acquisition essentially is closed. It is official. They are officially a PlayStation first party studio now. We didn't get a whole lot of new news about their game. We know it's some sort of live service, multiplayer, probably social game to some extent. But we did know that Mark Cerny has been collaborating with them and interested in what they're working on, because they're really focused on cloud development as a thing. They're a studio kind of based on the idea of being in the cloud, and so they are looking to kind of advance Sony stuff. There was a interview with gamesindustry.biz kind of about the future of the studio, to the point where they were like, we can't tell you about all the exciting tech that we're working on, but it's going to kind of change everything that we do. We'll see. I find the case of Haven really interesting, because I wonder how far out this game actually is, but it must have been far enough along that PlayStation liked what they were doing to acquire them. But
yeah, well, and when you get, you know, rock star Mark Cerny, creator of Knack, on the team. You know, that's when you know. No, I love Mark Cerny, and I'm sure they are very excited to have him there, kind of interested in what they're working on. But it's like you said, when I read the press release, I don't remember exactly what line was it, or not our press, the our write up of it. It weirdly gave me like Dreams vibes, which Dreams ended up becoming kind of a hit, right? Like it's not this thing that people are constantly playing, and I've yet to play a Dreams game more than like 10 minutes, but people do love it because it does spark that curiosity about game making, and people have made some like insane things from it. And so I'm not saying that this is that, but I there was a line in there somewhere. I can't remember where it was, and I don't want to like be on my computer trying to figure it out, but there's something about it where it's like something about user created stuff. Maybe it was just the cloud stuff, but it kind of gave me like Dreams vibes, where it's like, we know that they're making a lot of live service games. And so I don't know, I'm interested to see what it is. Not everything can be this like super narrative driven single player game. I get that they want to like try to do new things, so I'm choosing to be optimistic about it, but also, yeah, we don't know anything about it, so I've yet to be excited that that Sony owns Haven. I'm like, all right, cool. That means almost nothing to me.
It's good the deal is closed, but yeah, I think we're at least a couple years out from seeing it. But to your point, I just want to mention, yeah, I think something, we obviously don't talk about Dreams day to day on here or week to week, but Media Molecule has done a phenomenal job of maintaining that base, celebrating that community, involving them in things. You know, they continue to do yearly events with them, whether it's award shows or like showcases. I forget the exact name of the con that they put on, but they do, I think, Dreams Con, unless I'm blanking.
Dream Con. That sounds good to me. I like it.
And shout out to Jen Simpkins, who does editorial for Media Molecule and basically helps to continue really spotlighting and showing all the awesome work that happens from you know, on the studio side of the fan base. I think they've done such a good job of fostering that community and keeping it going. That Dreams, I don't think ever was going to be, you know, like the 50 million selling copy game or game creation suite, but a game that was driven by a very dedicated community that can get people interested by surfacing the coolest stuff. Mm-hmm. And they've done a good job of that. But
I found the article. Yeah, okay, I was correct. It says, the studio is working on a new live service game featuring social elements and user-generated content. So that's why I got Dreams vibes, because that's exactly what Dreams is. So,
go ahead.
That's kind of, you know, I know that there are, you know, Roblox is huge, but it's like, it's so intimidating to a lot of people, myself included. Like when people say like, do you play Roblox? I'm like, I don't even know what that means, right? Like, is Roblox a game or is it just user created game? I don't know. And then there's like Rec Room and stuff like that. So it wouldn't surprise me that they're trying to like break into that market that is where people can like live in a game, basically. Like, you don't need to play a bunch of different games, you only need this game. So interested to see what it is, though.
You saying that, immediately in my head I went, oh god, Mark is gonna get clipped out talking about Roblox and it's going to be like, old man doesn't know what Roblox is.
I don't. I 100% don't know what it is, and at this point I'm too afraid to ask. On GameScoop last week, I legit said the words, I don't care about video games, and Justin was like, they're going to clip that. They're going to put that on there. So
Jada, we don't even need to do anything. He serves himself up.
I dig my own graves.
It's exactly why I'm just sitting here quiet, looking pretty, and just enjoying. If I had a snack, I'd be eating. If I had popcorn, I'd be just eating popcorn. I'd be literally the Michael Jackson meme, just sitting there eating popcorn, just
just watching Mark dig his grave.
The moment the industry turned on Mark Medina, it's happened before. It'll happen
again. Yeah, I was like, that moment's long past, my friend. Anyway. Yeah, we'll see what Haven's up to eventually. I hope someday, you know, I've talked to a few friends about this over the last couple of weeks. It is incredible how little we know about the future of PlayStation games right now. You know, beyond Insomniac and Naughty Dog and of course God of War, it's really a general, you know, unannounced mystery. We can infer a lot and assume a lot, but there's so many question marks that hopefully we start to get some answers about these things in the coming months and years. But moving on from there, one of the least question mark games, I think, is The Last of Us Remake. At the very least, we kind of know what The Last of Us 1 is originally. We're still waiting to see, I think, gameplay changes and things of that. But The Last of Us Part 1 has gone gold, Naughty Dog announced earlier this week. So the you know, main work of getting that game together in the published state that it will be on disc and things is there, and it's ready to go ahead of the early September launch for that game. You know, we've continued to see a trickle of GIFs or some changes of things when it comes to the visual side of it. Jada, just from your end, just because it's been a couple weeks, is there anything before launch of this that you're really hoping we get to see a sense of from the remake work that they've done?
I mean, I just want to see some of the systems that we got in Last of Us 2 and how those are implemented in 1, because there are some changes and differences between the two, obviously. I think that's a really big thing for me. Like, I know what we're getting. We're getting, you know, Last of Us 1, great story, great gameplay, just improved with the even better gameplay of Last of Us 2. I don't know. It's not one that I'm very excited about, to be honest. Like, I'm probably going to replay it again for the like fifth time, but it's not one of those ones like, oh, I can't wait for Last of Us. Like, I'm going to pre-order it. Like, it's just not one of those games for me, because I could literally go play it right now, just not as an improved version that it's going to be. But yeah, I'm excited, but not excited, I guess. I don't know. I'm whelmed. I'm very whelmed by this one.
No, I mean, I think
it's not under or over. Just whelmed.
I think that's whelmed. Speaks to the audience to a certain extent that we've seen, at least on IGN. I think some people are hoping to see more of what it is. Before launch, I love that game so much, but I have not played the first game since probably 2015 or 16 when I did a replay sometime around then. Like, I purposely didn't immediately play it before my TLU part 2 review. And so it's been a while for me. So I'm very excited to go back to it, especially to see the improvements that they've made on a mechanical level and seeing what they're able to do there, and knowing that they, you know, redid all of that stuff for this game and seeing how far that goes. But I think, you know, to a certain extent, I really do think the audience for this game at the end of the day is a future proofing for the audience rather than the audience that has all played The Last of Us. I think they probably know, especially seeing the conversations online, like, not everyone who has played The Last of Us is going to immediately go for this one. But, you know, I tweeted about it when it went gold, and I had several people go, I have never gotten to play the original game, so I can't wait to go play it. And they're waiting for this remake to go play it rather than just play the original. So I think that audience is there, the audience who will be interested in the TV show, which is coming in early 2023. I think this is a, like, getting things up to parity sort of goal for them, especially as, like, The Last of Us becomes a bigger franchise for them. My biggest question is just, like, when do we get a part 2 PS5 patch or, like, version, director's cut? Because I really want that.
The patch is the...
Not the patch. I meant, like,
but
the PS5.
You want a Death Stranding upgrade.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Not just FPS.
I'm curious if we're going to get the old school factions multiplayer as a part of this, if that's going to be included. I don't know if they've talked about it.
They've confirmed it's just the single player version.
Just the single player? Okay. Yeah, because I was out of the loop on that one.
And I've seen a lot of frustration over that when it comes to the price. My initial reactions were like, man, I wish all of you had talked about factions earlier, because I was such a fan of it and felt like no one played it. But two, it's very clear that their focus on a multiplayer system is what's coming in The Last of Us standalone multiplayer. And they probably did not want to have to put all those resources into a limited multiplayer mode versus what is clearly a, like, all big, you know, major production for them multiplayer game. Yeah. So I think that's where that trade-off happened.
But. Yeah, I'm exactly like Jada when it comes to, like, the excitement of this game. I think we talked about this last week. But just very much like, cool. I think I'm gonna see if it hooks me. Like, I've played this game several times, and I did play it right before Last of Us 2. So I think I'll play the first, like, maybe hour, because I'll have to probably for work, and I'll see what my gut feeling is if I care to keep playing through it. Probably won't, but we'll see. I do find the $70 price tag very high for this, but I mean, they're putting a lot of work into it. That's what a few of the devs have said, that this is, like, one of the most, like biggest projects they feel like they've ever done. So it's like, it's definitely, like, I'm not saying it's not worth it. It's, man, it is a lot for a game that's been released and then re-released already, and then now just being remade. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Last of Us Part 1. We'll see.
Well, we'll only have a month and a half or so before we probably will get to talk about it and play about it, because it'll be it's early September soon.
But something I did find kind of weird is so The Last of Us Part 1, I'm interested on how many people this is a question for the comment. So leave me a comment. How many people have not played Last of Us but were able to seek out and secure a PS5? I don't know how much that you're a big enough PlayStation fan to get a PS5, but you haven't played Last of Us. I don't mean that is how that sounds. That sounds bad. It just means I'm just curious what that intersection is.
You're wondering
how a PS5.
Yeah, how a PlayStation fan hasn't experienced it yet is I think what you're saying.
But I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm the one person on this podcast that has missed the boat on a ton of PlayStation stuff. I'm just purely curious. Have you ever not played Last of Us but own a PS5 to be able to play this game? I'm just wondering what percentage of people out of 100% are just replaying it because they love this game and they want to see it on PS5, or genuinely playing it for the first time. It's an interesting comment question. So let us know.
I think we'll be able to get 100% of PS5 players to tell us. Hopefully we get the math right.
Definitely.
I mean, to that point, my only other thought would just be, because of the hype around the PS5 and excitement for it, I do wonder how many people went to get a PS5 regardless of what they owned previously, because they've heard about the scarcity. It's so in demand. It's one of those things that maybe they owned an Xbox, or maybe they owned a Switch for the last few years and didn't own a PS4, or are newer players. There are a lot of younger players also who just weren't around at that time, but do now get newer consoles. We're old, Mark. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah. I mean, I played Infamous Second Son without playing the first two, because I didn't have a PS3 until I didn't have a PS3, and this is spoiling a future topic we want to do, but I didn't have a PS3 until Last of Us came out. I legit I didn't have a PS3, and I really wanted to play Beyond Two Souls and Last of Us, and that's what made me go get a PS3. So 2013. I know they exist because I was one of them. So yeah, just curious.
Yeah. Well, if anyone who has that perspective, please let us know in the comments. Yeah, I'd be very curious to hear that as well. But yeah, we'll hopefully, have more to talk about. I assume they'll show a little bit more of TLU Part 1 before it comes out. And then, of course, it'll be September. And we'll before we know it, be talking about actually playing it. Moving on from there, just to mention some other quick news. If you didn't see it, PlayStation, as they do occasionally, released a lineup of indies announcements sort of that are coming to PlayStation, either known or reveals or release dates. Among them, of course, I want to shout out the biggest one that I'm most excited about, which is Inscription, which was previously only on PC. There's a blog post and you can go read that or watch a trailer. Just don't look at anything and just go play Inscription when it comes out. There was no release date, I believe, but just go play Inscription.
Yeah. Go into it blind. It's really good. And it's one of those games where going into it blind makes the experience so much better.
Do you have any recommendations for someone who's about to record a Devs React to speedruns with them? Next week,
get Ronnie to do
it. But I've never played the game. Oh, pass the buck.
Yep,
love it. I love it.
Also highlighted throughout it were Cursed to Golf, which is coming in August. The Tomorrow Children's re-release. That was a game that had sort of a very public figuring out the rights, the ownership of things. PlayStation had originally published it. It was delisted for a long time. The devs got the rights back and have been working on republishing it with a sort of revamped edition of it. Signalis was also shown. Shim, I don't know. But that's a very
Shadow
cool
one, right?
Yeah, the Shadow puzzle game, which looks very, very cool, coming next year. Sea of Stars, which is set in the universe of The Messenger, but is an old school SNES RPG style game rather than a 2D side-scroller action game that a lot of people are very excited for. And then I think the one coming in most recent, or coming the soonest, is Cult of the Lamb, which we've seen a little bit of before, but that one's coming in August, right before Curse to Golf, which also is coming in August. Basically, we've talked about on the show, the rollout of big releases has definitely slowed down, especially this summer more than anything. Really cool looking indies coming out. I don't know if anyone else did, but I played the demo of Cult of the Lamb on Steam earlier this in June, I think it was. I don't know how time works, but that was really fun.
I did not.
June generally is earlier in the year. Yes.
Yes. Yes, that is true.
I played the Curse to Golf demo.
Oh, okay.
Part of that same Steam. I think it was like Summer Game Fest stuff. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was a little too chatty
for
a game that I'm like, I just want to play. But yeah. Also, there was like a bug on the second level and it was making it where I couldn't finish. But it was a demo, so it was fine. And I probably could have like reshut the game off, but I was like, okay, I'm in. This is cool.
Cool.
Also, really like Chu Hai Labs, so I'm in.
Yes, true. Did anything from that lineup stick out to you, Jada? Obviously, you
Sea of Stars is my big one. That's the big one I can't wait for. I'm really looking for that good old 16-bit RPG goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one I know is like a big one for our audience. I think there was hope that it would hit this year, but unfortunately isn't. But yeah, I can't wait to play that one as well. It looks gorgeous, just like the artwork.
Oh, this does look. That does look.
Again, it's not 16-bit, but 16-bit era.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, definitely of that.
Oh, like 2.5D.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like Chrono Trigger. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
It's very, very Chrono Trigger vibes. So
yeah.
I'm very excited for this one.
Yeah, that one's heavily inspired and a clear homage to that era. Really, really excited to play it at some point. And wild that the studio was just like, yeah, we made an awesome 2D action game. What if we did something completely different? And it's really cool to see what they're putting together. But yeah, check out all of that information we had on IGN, trailers and everything also on the PlayStation blog. A lot of really cool smaller games coming up that if you're looking to, if you're someone who sticks primarily to big AAA stuff, a lot of very cool, unique opportunities coming this year and next year. So yeah, keep an eye on those as we go forward. Moving on from there, and just to wrap up on the news of things, some other release dates came out in between this week and last week. As I had mentioned earlier, I think we missed it even last week, but Valkyrie Elysium is coming on September 29th. That is a PlayStation console exclusive, I believe. And as I mentioned, Valkyrie Profile Lenith will be released alongside it as a port. The Diafield Chronicle, whatever it is, that strategy RPG that was also revealed at the same State of Play Valkyrie Elysium was, is coming September 22nd. That one is multi-platform. And then Skull and Bones is coming on November 8th, which is the day
best
before.
Day to lunch.
We have 24 hours. To play all of Skull of Bones before
which
we
doesn't have a campaign, so all of it will be impossible. But yeah, unfortunate timing probably after the reveal for that one. But yeah, that'll be, you know, your two choices that week, I guess. Very different, you know, if you're torn between, you're probably a specific type of player if you're going for Skull of Bones or you're going for God of War Ragnarok. So
you want to be a pirate live service kind of guy, or do you want to play as a bald man with a boy?
I've got it. I'm going to play both.
That's the back of the box for God of War Ragnarok.
I'm going to play both at the same time. I'm going to have God of War Ragnarok going on my TV, and then I'm going to have on my partner's TV right next to me on his PlayStation, Skull and Bones, and I'll play it with my feet because I think I'll be able to get away with that on Skull and Bones.
Perfect.
I actually am unironically like, I'm going to give Skull and Bones a chance because I really liked Sea of Thieves until it hit me that that game has like zero progression. It's like all cosmetic. Mm. And I was like, man, I would actually love for there to be a point to this other than just like, you know, sailing. But like the sailing aspects and even the like pirate combat aspects were fun. And so I do want to give Skull and Bones a fair shake. It deserves it. This game, I didn't think this game was ever going to come out. So now that it is, I guess I'll give it a go.
That's the thing. Go ahead, Jade.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
How dare you be kind and considerate to me. No, I was going to say, yeah, for me, I remember because I did the Ubisoft coverage that E3 where it was revealed and did like some interviews and things. And it was like, whoa, this big new game. And everyone loved Black Flag. We're going to talk about the pirate game. And then it was just, so it's been 5-6 years, basically. And so I'm with you. I don't think that the gameplay showcase whelmed me. I don't think I was like blown away. I wasn't totally disappointed. I think there's some potential there, but it's something that I'm not going to know until I play a few rounds of it. So I want to give it its chance too, just because like you said, man, there's been people working on that for 5 years that we've known about it, let alone all the work that happened pre-reveal. So, but Jada, what were you going to say?
I was literally going to say the exact same thing I did cover. No, you're good. I literally also did.
How whelmed she was.
I was going to say, no, I also did coverage for it at E3, not for IGN, but I did coverage for another site that same year. And and I got to play it. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. I'm really enjoying the ship. The naval combat is pretty cool. And then we just got nothing. So I'm just going to leave it at that and save us some time because you kind of already did it. And that's fine.
I guess other than that one, I'll throw to you first then, Jada, any particular excitement, especially knowing your RPG lineage and everything, any particular excitement for either Valkyrie Elysium or Deerfield Chronicle? Or you can probably skip those.
You know, the Valkyrie Elysium, the newest trailer, actually got me a lot more interested in that first trailer. The first reveal trailer I felt like did not do enough to really showcase what Valkyrie games are about, And I feel like the newest one kind of helped with that. So I'm a little bit more excited for that one. But also we got a lot of stuff over the, and I don't know if we talked about it in the previous episode I wasn't on. We got a lot of stuff on Star Ocean. Star Ocean is also dropping in October, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that's my big one. You know, I talked about that, that live state of play when it got revealed. I'm excited for Star Ocean, the Divine Force, I believe is what it's called. There's so many weird names with Star Ocean. It's hard to keep track of them, but, I'm excited for both of those, and getting to play Valkyrie Profile, Lenith again is going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited to re-dive back into that one. I'm really hoping that one does come to the Classics library for PS Premium.
Yeah.
What's same. The one being shown on screen right now?
Elysium.
This is the Valkyrie Profile Elysium.
The game looks pretty sick, actually.
Yeah.
This is the newest trailer, and this is what they should have shown the first time instead of that whatever trailer they showed the first time.
I agree with you. That first trailer, I didn't know anything about the Valkyrie series, and that first trailer, like, it seemed rough. The problem with that trailer was and granted, that is just the nature of development. Things are always changing, and the polish of it is the stuff that comes toward the end. But it was the way it was just presented felt like, oh, this game should be a year or two off, not 6 months or whatever it was at that time, or even, maybe even a little long. But it felt like it would be a next year game, not this year. But this trailer gave me a lot more confidence in the state of it, the look of it, the feel of it, the gameplay. I was pleasantly surprised by this. And not knowing the series, I feel like I should probably play Lenith, but this seemed much cooler than I was expecting.
I think if you're, if you're okay with going back to like those older kind of battle systems, then go ahead and, try Lenith. If not, it might be better just to start here, because the battle system is very different from Lenith. I think the closest game I could think of that's similar to Valkyrie Profile Lenith that's come out recently was like Indivisible, which was 505 published game, if I remember right. But yeah, that one was a lot of fun. It had a similar-esque battle system. It's not the exact same, but it's similar.
Cool. Yeah, I was much more hyped about this one. This suddenly became end of September. A little more exciting for me, especially because I have learned I like strategy RPGs as well, so I'm going to dip into Deerfield a little bit, but I also don't know how complex that one is going to get, so we'll see. But yeah, September is busy for Square, and Square just has a busy fall in general, even without Forspoken coming up. So we'll see how it all goes. But with that all said, we're running a little short on time. We did have sort of a discussion in mind. Are y'all cool if we perhaps table that, but I put it out to the audience to maybe get some of their feedback, and then we can discuss it together?
Works for me.
No.
Mark.
Flip a coin, Jonathan. Live on air. Flip a coin.
Get to work.
I don't have coins.
No. It's fine.
Why would I have?
I'm joking.
Metal currency. Jonathan, I don't use coins.
Jonathan,
anymore.
We're in San Francisco. Doesn't your laundry machine require coins?
I have in apartment laundry, and I pay the extra rent for
pants.
It. Don't you worry. I'm paying
fancy
for
pants.
It.
I remember when I lived in the Bay Area, I had an in-unit washer and dryer, and I felt like a rock star.
The only thing my doesn't come with.
I have happily paid a premium both here and in New York for having in-unit laundry because of how much of a life difference it makes, because laundry is without a doubt the task I hate the least, like the chore thing I can't stand the most. Or I hate the most. I hate it the least.
I love doing laundry.
I'm not
near a washing machine.
That is a slip that I don't know what that says about my thought process of things.
Jonathan's at the local laundromat. Like, here, go ahead, go grab some lunch. I'll take care of this for you.
My exciting day. Yeah, I do it for other people. Just out of benevolence.
Dishes can go to hell. But you know what? Give me a good Saturday of laundry and I'm in.
And I'm set. No, I actually don't mind dishes. But yeah, laundry, for whatever reason, the process of it, folding and hanging and all of that, just drives me nuts. But so having the idea that I'd have to do it outside my apartment, that I can't do it like while watching a TV show here, or that I'd have to walk somewhere to do it, I know it's a very like privileged opportunity and is not common in either of these cities. And I have paid the rent for that as a result. Absolutely.
I lived in like a 100-unit like apartment complex, and I think I was one of two that had a washer and dryer.
We had
to pay a premium for it.
Yeah,
we paid. Everybody on this podcast, everybody listening to this podcast right now, thinks we're a bunch of suckers, and it's because we are.
Well, I mean, if you're in America and you're not living in a big city, chances are you do have laundry in your home, and so it is.
I'm in California, but I'm not in a big city, and that would be very strange to not have.
Yeah.
This is the first place I've lived at where I haven't had it in home. So it was a very big change for the last couple of years versus the first 20, 30 years of my life. So
yeah, growing up on Long Island and having a laundry room now feels like such a foreign concept to me, that the idea that there was a room dedicated to the laundry. Anyway, that said, we definitely don't have time to have any sort of PlayStation-related discussion.
But we did have time for a tangent for laundry. About laundry.
I mean, there's always time for laundry, apparently, according to my brain, because I seemingly love it. But no, the thing that we do want to talk about, and we get a somewhat steady supply of these into the beyond@ign.com email, which you can also write into if you would like to as well. But we get it since a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago now, when we talked about PlayStation's plans for getting another 18 million PS5s out there in the next fiscal year, of talking about the realistic nature of the shortage, that there are people consistently who can't find them, who are having trouble still finding them, who luckily do. You know, we get either sort of stories, which we've read on the show, of people, you know, stumbling upon one or having a friend who helped them out or having a connection at a store, but other people who continue to struggle and who continue to not be able to find them and don't want to pay scalpers prices, don't want to deal with that. So my question is for people out there, I think a mixture of one, have you faced these difficulties? But two, knowing that this is a thing that is affecting PlayStation is going to seemingly affect them for the long term, because even though they're planning another 18 million in the next year, they still are like, we're not going to meet demand. We're not going to be able to get as many as we want to out there because of the supply chain, because of parts issues, because of all just the nature of the world right now. Knowing that that's in mind, do you think that's going to change the course of this generation in terms of its longevity and its timing? I think we've become so accustomed to generations that spanned, you know, 5 to 8 years, somewhere comfortably in there. Last generation, the PS4, I think was end of 2013 to the end of 2020 before a new console came out. So that was a 7-year sort of gap. Do we think this generation will go longer as a result? Do you think they will kind of scrap the generation and focus on new innovations to push past the PS5, whether that's, you know, mid-cycle launches? Do you think we'll get to a mid-cycle launch of an upgraded PS5 Pro sooner or later? I'm curious what people think the nature of this generation is going to be as a result of the supply shortage and the fact that people just can't get the new systems. And also what that means for, you know, like cross-gen games and console-exclusive games. And we've seen that struggle over the last couple of years. But what does that mean? What do you think it means going forward? So I'd love to hear from people about that. Obviously, feel free to leave those in the comments. But if you have sort of longer thoughts or you want to write in, make sure we see it for sure. Please write into beyond@ign.com with those comments and thoughts on that topic. And we'd love to talk about it in the coming week. With that said, let's move on to another thing you can write into beyond@ign.com for, and that's memory card. Every week, of course, we talk about the stories you send in about your PlayStation gaming life, whether they're wacky, weird, sad, happy, whatever, and we read them on the show each week. This memory card this week comes from Yancey. Yancey wrote into beyond@ign.com, like you can, and said, "Hey guys, I have a memory card story for you that actually involves a memory card. I always appreciate when they do and are very on brand. Back during my time with a PS2, I remember playing either Jak and Daxter 2 or 3, I can't remember which one exactly, and at the time, these games were very much like GTA, in that you are an open-world-ish city and can cause a disturbance that will have guards coming after you. I also remember the guards were very sensitive to the smallest thing, like breaking a pot too close to them or even just bumping into any of them or the NPCs could get them coming after you. This also puts the game into an alarm state, and you can't start any mission until things cool down. Anyway, one particular PlayStation, I had somehow set off the guards, and I hopped on my hoverboard to get away and went into a different section of the city. Now, normally when you're in an alarm state, if you enter into a different section, where the game has to actually load or render a different portion, the alarm state goes away. However, this particular time, I entered the other section while on my hoverboard. After the other area loaded, I noticed the alarm state hadn't gone away. I hopped off the board and tried to start a mission, but it wouldn't let me. I went back out to the main city and the alarm state was still active, and no matter what I did, I could not get it to stop, which means I could not start any missions, leave the city, or progress the story in any way, shape, or form. I tried reloading saves, but because of auto-saving, I was truly stuck. I had not yet learned about saving in multiple slots so that I could go back before I had set off the alarm. This was also back before the time of consoles being always connected and games being updated regularly, so I scoured the internet but could not find anyone who had encountered the same thing. So I thought, let's email Naughty Dog. Maybe they know what to do. I wasn't sure they would even get a reply, but after emailing them about my situation, I did indeed hear back and was told that I had actually found a bug in the game. They told me to copy my save onto another memory card and mail it to them. They would fix it and send it back. I couldn't believe it. So I did just that, and after about a week or two, I was able to continue on. I've been a fan of Naughty Dog ever since. Thanks so much for the show. I enjoy listening every week. Keep doing what you're doing and beyond. And just shout out to Naughty Dog for taking care of someone's save like that.
What a crazy person. That person was a young Neil Druckmann. Look at him now.
It's like the story of Iwata, how he produced Gold and Silver to be able to get Kanto in there. It's like, oh yeah, Neil used to fix games for people just on the side is how he worked back in the day.
There was a situation like that with Metroid Other M as well, right? Where it's like you had to like send in your like SD card to like get it fixed. That was like a known.
I think that
like,
became a
It became like more widespread, but it's like it's kind of sounds like it was. That's insane to think about. I would never have the patience for that. I would just take a bat to my console. But good on you for taking the time to send in your thing. No, it's done.
Mark is actually the person you see all those YouTube videos about. They have like there's like 100 different YouTubers that do it, but Mark is actually the person doing the videos when they like buzzsaw their PS4s in half, like their Spider-Man Special Edition one, or you know, that's Mark.
Mark just does it for no reason too. It's not even for
He does it for no reason and then just sends the videos to other people and is like, hey, I destroyed this. Here's a video. Go ahead and say it's you. That's Mark.
I'm on my 17th PS5. That's not even possible.
That's why the shortage has happened, is because Mark keeps buying them and destroying them.
I just keep absolutely destroying them. Yeah. My console is garbage, though, and I'll talk about it more on the shortage thing, but I'm about to take a baseball bat to my PS5, so we'll see.
Probably don't do that. You keep mentioning this bat. Don't do that to your system.
It's
not going to help.
It's asking for it, though.
No, it's not. It doesn't ask for anything.
I missed that controller update. It was like, remind me in 24 hours to take a bat to it.
Not every PS5, just mine specifically is there it is. It's right there on camera. And look at it. It's just like, I'm garbage and I want you to destroy me. There's an actual reason why I'm saying that. My PS5 actually is garbage and it's pissing me off, so I'm ready for a new one, but you can't find them. 2 years later, you can't find one.
I just really like the idea that you turn it on and it's just like, hit me just slowly and cries as it does that.
In a way, it's saying that. I'm telling you,
I'm sure that's how that works.
It's just for context for this episode, it's got that rest mode bug thing that others have had, and it's 2 years of this, dude, where
about every time it closes, you put it in rest mode and you load it back up, it's like it shut down improperly.
It says it was turned off wrong. It does it all
the time.
I can do. Yeah, that's what I do now.
I do not use rest mode anymore. I just turn it off.
Yep.
Yeah, because I was tired of having to reformat my hard drive every time I booted it up. So I just literally do go off and on. And honestly, the boot time difference isn't anything.
I just like, I forget about it sometimes. And so here's what happens. I'm sorry, Dornbush. Here's what happens. I've turned off the rest mode function, right? Like I've made it where it doesn't do that. So what'll happen is I'll wake up in the morning and I've noticed that my PS5's just been on all night. And I'm like, great, because it doesn't auto go into rest mode. Or because if it does, it'll bug out, right? And so, or I'll just forget and I'll push the button, which then puts it in rest mode. And so, like, just this morning, I hit the button on my controller and it just does nothing. And I'm like, you piece of garbage console. And I hit it on the PlayStation and sure enough, yep, it's like, oh, you turned me off wrong. And I'm like, I'm about to turn you off wrong.
With a baseball bat.
I'll throw you in a bathtub. And yeah,
And just let the console slowly wither. The hatred you have for this inanimate object is
slowly watch it sink. just give it a salute as it goes underwater. It did give me some good times. I owe it that. But still.
Well, Mark's feud with his console, which I think is very one-sided at this point. I don't think the console can feel this hatred towards you as much as you want it to. But
incorrect.
We'll talk about that more perhaps in a future episode. But I feel like you two need to go to couples therapy at this point, probably.
You know, I did something. I'll make the story really quick. I did something very similar with my PS3 back in the day. I have the 60 gig original, backwards compatible. Had it for like since launch. Had it for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. All of a sudden, just I got the little orange light or yellow light, whatever, made it stop working. I had a backup Slim, so I started playing that. The PS3 Slim, and I just left it plugged in, staring at the other one. And I was like, you made me do this. You made me, you're going to watch this. And I did this for probably about, I don't know, 3-4 months. Then I like cleaned it out with some air, turned it back on. And so I was like, let's try it and see if it's working now. And it worked just fine. So it got jealous and I haven't had an issue with it since. It just kind of fixed itself. I don't know what happened, but haven't had an issue with it since. So.
Well, I think we have a new topic
for your consoles. Mark, just get another PS5 and put it in front of it and play it. Other one will start.
No,
painting.
I'm going to get a new PS5 and I'm going to office space that one. We're going to film an episode of it.
On Beyond just live.
Yep.
The ways we punish our consoles. Look forward to that for a future episode of Beyond. Well, hopefully everyone out there who has their PS5s is enjoying them
actually
and is not having does not have a blood feud against them. And is gonna like sacrifice them in some arcane ritual. But however you're feeling about your PlayStation 5 or 4 or Pro or Vita or VR, or whatever it may be. If you have questions or comments about anything we talked about this week, or just about PlayStation in general, please send them in to beyond@ign.com. I know we've mentioned memory cards and some of the topics today, but if you have any other thoughts you want to hear discussed on the show, if you have big PlayStation-related questions, please send them in. We'd love to have some more to be able to pull from in the coming weeks. But in the meantime, other than that, thank you to everyone who's been sending in memory cards. Please still send them in. But we have some other great ones to read in the coming weeks, but always love to hear from you all about these very personal moments that you're willing to share. So thank you for those. But of course, if you're enjoying the show as well, I haven't mentioned this in a while, but please, you know, like, subscribe, hit the thumbs or the stars, all the good things that let people know that you're enjoying the show. Please do so on whatever your platform of choice is. And before we go, speaking of other platforms and the work we all do, we're of course all on IGN.com and all the work that we do, you can see there and across all of our social platforms. Before we wrap up, Jada, anything that you want to plug that you've been working on when it comes to the IGN community?
Yeah, so got a new photo mode article going live. We had one go live a month ago, a little bit of delay with all the craziness of summer of gaming, but we've got our next one going up. It's going, the photo mode is basically come to the IGN comments section, submit your best photo based on the theme that we've selected, and we'll be highlighting all of the user ones in a slideshow in the future one. So our newest theme is going to be Flame On in the theme of summer. So send us your most fiery, passionate screenshots. More fire, the better. And we'll get a chance in getting highlighted in the next one. We'll be highlighting all of our users' photos from our previous one, which theme was heroes, in this article. So check that out. That should be live by the time the podcast goes live.
Awesome. And Mark, I know you'll have stuff to talk about in future weeks, but for now.
Yeah, I'm doing, you know, everyone knows I do Devs React to Speedruns. We have a really big PlayStation first party centric episode coming up soon, so be excited for that. That one's recorded and done and it was super fun, but it'll go live sometime in July. And then we have a bunch of other ones, like I mentioned, we have Inscription and Salt and Sacrifice and a few others. So yeah, look forward to that. Those go live on Saturday.
Yay. Yeah. And on top of that, if you're looking for other PlayStation related coverage as well, please encourage you to check out our Art of the Level series. I know I've plugged it before, but I have another PlayStation related one coming up this week that I won't spoil, but a recent PlayStation game, perhaps in the last couple of years. Go check out that one. It's going to launch either Friday or Saturday. Really excited about that one. We have some wonderful dev interviews as part of it. And our most recent one was from a freelance written an interviewed piece that went over really well related to Psychonauts 2. So if you enjoyed that one as well, you can check that out, as well as the whole series of it. They're all on IGN.com, youtube.com/IGN Games, where if you're watching this on YouTube, same channel. So just go check out that playlist. But yeah, a lot of hard work goes into those from a lot of people. So please check them out when you can. But other than that, that is going to wrap us up for this week's episode of Beyond. Thank you, Mark and Jada, for joining me. You can find all three of us on Twitter. I'm at JM Dornbush, Mark is at Mark_Medina, and Jada is at Jada_Rena. Thank you to Red, our producer, for making this show happen as always. And thank you to everyone out there for listening and watching. We hope you're doing well. We hope you're staying safe. And as always, Beyond.
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 Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics, and sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.